Information America's farmers and ranchers need to know. Adams on Agriculture. Now, back to Mike Adams.
Well, let's discuss the Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee's final report. When it comes to dairy, the dairy industry has some mixed feelings on it. Let's talk about it now with Clay Detlefson, Senior Vice President, Environmental and Regulatory Affairs for the National Milk Producers Federation. Clay, thanks for joining us. Let's start with what you like about this final report.
Morning, Mike. Thank you for having me on. What we like is we pretty much held our ground and actually gained slight ground in certain areas. We didn't lose anything, so that's always a good thing. What we're disappointed in is we think there's a lot of good research out there on full-fat dairy that says it's either not harmful or it may be beneficial in some cases, and they didn't focus enough time on that emerging research, which I think will set it up for the next round.
Why do you think they didn't to spend more time or focus more on that new research?
Well, you know, in the past they had, you know, mountains of research saying that dairy fat or saturated fats and dairy fat were bad. The sheer volume of research isn't comparable to what's there before. Plus, to a large degree, I think a lot of the scientists are kind of stuck in a rut, and they haven't really embraced changing information out there.
But the report did reaffirm the benefits of dairy in our diet, right? I mean, it did hit those key health areas on nutrients, right?
Yeah, throughout the report, they said very, very positive things about having low-fat and non-fat dairy in the diet. They identified the nutrients of concern, and dairy does a fantastic job in delivering on those. So now it's got a lot of positive stuff in it. We remain to be in each of the eating patterns. So the U.S. healthy, the healthy vegetarian, and the Mediterranean all still have solid recommendations for inclusion of dairy in those diets,
including for birth through 24 months.
Yes, that's a new one for us. That's the first time they've ever ruled on that or issued recommendations on it. For 6 months to 1 year, yogurt and cheese are recognized, and then 1 year and up, pretty much all dairies recommended.
Also interesting about the need for Americans overall to have more dairy in their diets.
Absolutely. While about 10% of Americans exceed the recommended amounts, 88% consume too little dairy.
A lot of this, of course, is connected with the school lunch program, which right now is, we don't know where that's headed with the schools this fall, whether they're going to reopen or not. We know the impact that's had on the dairy industry. But so much of this has to do with those types of feeding programs, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, we got a little bit lucky when the food box program was started up and other alternative feeding programs to get dairy to where the American consumers needed it. So if we don't have the schools opening up again or they're open up on a much lesser level, we still have to get dairy to our Americans.
You know, a lot of people say, well, I don't pay much attention to these dietary guidelines. I eat what I like and things like that. I don't need somebody to tell me. So what is the impact or the significance of these guidelines? What do they really influence?
They really influence your health. If you want to be healthy, you should be following the dietary guidelines. And if you don't, you know, there's dire consequences out there. So it's important that people pay attention to these and follow them. And dairy's got a wonderful place in the dietary guidelines.
And those guidelines do have impact on those key programs like the feeding programs, whether school lunch or other types of programs, right?
Absolutely. And that's why we have to work to get these guidelines right. And I think the battle that's getting set up for the future is taking a hard look at multiple levels of fat in products, and especially differentiating dairy fat from other fats, and trying to understand, you know, how that can all fit together. Because, you know, one of the things that we've learned from schools is if you're not allowing the kids to have whole milk, a lot of times they're not going to consume their milk. They don't care for skim, et cetera. So we've got to make sure that the kids get the milk that they need.
Yeah, there's been all kinds of different layers to this, the whole milk versus skim milk, flavored milk. It's, all of this has become a big debate, hasn't it?
Absolutely. And it's going to continue, but hopefully we will turn the tide. We're going to start, you know, there's a oral comment period on August 11, which they'll have to do virtually, and then people can file written comments on August 13th or by August 13th. So we're going to be pushing on that. And hopefully we can maybe advance the mission a little bit as the Health and Human Services and USDA mull over the recommendations from the Dietary Guidelines Committee.
And how things change. There for a while, they were telling us to avoid or cut back on whole milk, and now whole milk is back in.
And so is butter.
Yeah.
Butter's doing really well these days.
Yeah. So always interesting, but it's always an ongoing situation and debate and working on these dietary guidelines. Clay, thanks for the latest from a dairy perspective. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Clay Detlefson, he's the Senior Vice President, Environmental and Regulatory Affairs for the National Milk Producers Federation. With that, we will wrap it up for today. Coming up tomorrow, we'll take a look at the new Environmental Policy Act proposal. We'll take a look at that with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. We'll also hear from the Renewable Fuels Association and economic analysis of the impact the harm COVID-19 has done to the ethanol industry. We'll look at that and more tomorrow right here on AOA. Hope you'll join us. Stay safe, everyone.